If you would please remain standing for a reading from the Gospel according to Luke in the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts as concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, it's been a strange week. Certainly am feeling a little bit disconnected from you guys as I was quarantining at home with the kids all week. And first part of the week, Anna was not around with me. And fortunately, she has recovered and come home. And the kids are doing good and feeling good. And I've never really had any symptoms, but I've still never gotten my test back to say that I'm negative, so we're just acting out of an abundance of caution this morning for me to just remain up here, kind of stay away from everybody until we do get those results. And even so, after today would be today is our fifth day, so according to the guidelines, we're in the clear anyway, but just want to be extra cautious given how much the virus is spreading again in our community. But it's weird and it sort of throws me off a little bit. And so I think that's probably why you'll see that you heard that the scripture changed at the last minute here, because my sermon has kind of changed a little at the last minute. And that's just how it goes sometimes. So I don't know if the title makes any sense anymore, but we'll see how it goes. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, the time when Jesus came to John, his cousin, to be baptized. And I read a good bit of what is essentially the prologue to that, right? John baptizing the people, establishing his credit as the baptizer, the one who is coming before Jesus, the prophet like Elijah, to warn the people to repentance, to be ready for the Messiah who is to come. And so John is about that business, and in Luke, in the scripture we read today, he sort of says it in the most intense way that we read in the scripture. He calls them a brood of vipers. children of snakes. Snakes, of course, being a primary biblical image for the devil. Children of the devil. Now, as we read on, we see that he's contrasting this with the children of Abraham. And he's making a point here. He's saying, look, you think you're children of Abraham based on your lineage and your blood and your who you've descended from, who you were born to. He's like, but actually, because of your actions, you are children of snakes. You need a fresh start. You need to start over. You need to repent. You need to wash away your sins, this baptism for forgiveness and repentance, which is breaking a relationship with God and with your neighbors. That's the way I often just sort of shorthand for sins. Sins are things that break our relationship with God and with our neighbors. He's like, look, you're doing these things, so therefore you're not children of Abraham. You're like children of the devil. And the message says it nicely in translating verse 8. It's your life that must change, not your snake skin. And then he goes on with two images for this life change. An image of trees and an image of harvest. So we're going to start with the tree image. The tree image is a common image for Israel, who, as we said, the children of Abraham. Throughout Scripture, it talks about the children of Abraham, Israel, the nation, as being a tree watered by the Spirit, a tree that is growing by the river of life. And John uses that image, but he uses it in a pretty harsh way. He says the axe is at the root of the tree, or trees, children of Abraham. He says your bloodline and your heritage is not what's important to God. It's not your skin. It's not what's on sort of the outside of who you are born to, who you think you are. It's not how long your family has been in the church. It's not how many times you've come to worship. It's not about the roots that you come from. The axe is at the root. It's about the product of your life. The fruit. Not where you come from, but what are you doing with your life? What are you producing with your life? And this is well in keeping with the prophets from the ages. Throughout the Scriptures, the prophets tell us, look, live life in accordance with God's law and God's covenant. Don't follow the ways of the culture around you, the ways of even the ways of your ancestors who were unfaithful, but live in a countercultural way. And the way to do that, he says, is you have to turn around. You have to repent. You have to follow a different way than the way that you are following. And he just tells them what fruit looks like. He says, share your extras. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't oppress people. Don't take advantage of your position of power. It's actually not really that hard. In some way, the things that he lays out for the people coming to him, what do you need us to do? Don't cheat. If you have extra, share it. Don't oppress people. I mean, sort of on the surface, it doesn't really sound all that hard. Keep balanced relationships. Treat people with respect and dignity. That's what he calls people to do. And then there's this image of fire. The branches cut off and thrown into the fire, right? The tree is cut down. The fire is what connects the two images, from the trees to the harvest. The trees in this first image are the parts of Israel then that don't exhibit fruit would then be thrown into the fire. But what isn't clear from the first image is why. Now, if I were a sort of more fire and brimstone type preacher, this is where I would pick up the part about hell and change your lives or you're going to hell, right? But that's not really what the image says. That's not what the Scripture says here. It doesn't say anything about punishment for all eternity. It just moves on to the next image, the image of harvest. And the image of harvest enlightens us as to what fire he's talking about. What is the purpose of the fire? And he talks about the harvest. The common image then in throughout the scriptures, often used by the prophets, also used by Jesus himself in John chapter 4, if you want to look it up, for the image of judgment or wrath of God, the day that is coming. If you heard from Eugenia's scripture, the day, right? The day will reveal. The day is often talked about as the harvest day. And in the harvest, the wheat is the fruit. Now let's bring the two images together, right? It talked about the fruit not being people, but its actions, right? The fruit is the product of life. So in this case, the fruit, the wheat is the fruit. It's sort of a parallel image, right? The actions of life, and the chaff is the waste. The chaff is that which is left over when the faithful actions have been brought into the kingdom. The fruit of God, as we talked about, a life that is led in following the law and keeping with the covenant of being God's people. Things that we do in our lives, things that are God-inspired, things that are led by the Holy Spirit, or are harvested. They're brought into the reign of God. In fact, it suggests that they will live on forever. That when that day comes, the day of judgment comes, when we come before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be judged, that the things that we have done in our life, the actions, the products of our life that have been done in the name of Jesus and are keeping with the spirit of being the people of God, that those things will move on into the kingdom and live forever. But life that is lived in relationships based on power and privilege, life that is lived in oppressing and taking away dignity from other people, that is waste. It's chaff. It'll be burned up. Another way to think about it, going back with the snake image, right, that Paul calls upon, is that the snake life was going to be burnt out, like you burn a snake out of the hole. So the fire's purpose in this image, the reason that God is throwing the chaff or the cut off trees into the fire, is destroying life and actions that are useless in the new heaven and the new earth. The reign of God come on earth. Which is why I changed the scripture to be the scripture from Paul, because Paul says it nicely, right? He says, your work building on the foundation of Jesus Christ will be shown for what it is. Revealed with fire that will test its quality. And if it survives, you receive a reward. If it burns up, you receive loss. Now notice, Paul says, you will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now the question remains, can a life consists so entirely of useless evil actions so as to be entirely consumed by the fire, such that there would be nothing left? John doesn't say. We don't know. We hope that in the grace of God and Jesus Christ, not, but it is true, according to the scriptures, that life lived doing the action that Jesus teaches us will go on. Will go on forever. Now, to the people who come to hear John's message, and maybe to you today, I don't know, this sounds a little bit hopeless. And so they cry out, what should we do? Well, there's good news. There's good news in the baptism of Jesus Christ. For Jesus comes to this place of repentance and baptism, this place where the people have been called the brood of vipers. And Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah and the Savior, comes and is baptized. Comes and stands in solidarity with all us snake children. All us broken trees. Jesus comes and is baptized in the waters of the Jordan, the same waters that all these people are baptized in. And Jesus reveals himself, and God reveals Jesus to the world as the Son of God, the child of Abraham who keeps God's promises when none of us have succeeded, and is the child of God who creates a new culture, a new way of life that produces fruit. So each one of us then are called to baptism, bringing us into solidarity with this Jesus, the beloved one of God. And it says in our scripture, as John teaches, that when we are baptized, it's not just with water, but with the Spirit and with fire. Okay, look, the fire again. Right? That in our baptism, yes, we receive grace as a free gift that washes away our sin. Ends our new life founded on Jesus Christ, on the life of what Jesus has done for us. It is a free gift given that guarantees our salvation. But we are also given that Holy Spirit, which comes upon the church in the beginning of Acts as tongues of fire, they say. It looks like tongues of fire. The indication of the idea, then, all bringing it together, is that the harvest has begun. The judgment has begun. The life that we live after our baptism has begun to be the kind of life, and is possible to be the kind of life by the Holy Spirit who lives within us that God has called us to live. That the Holy Spirit has begun that work in us as tongues of fire, a fire of God that burns up that which is deadly, which is selfish, which is destructive, which is hurtful within us. That we, by the Holy Spirit, have the possibility of bringing these things to God and letting the Spirit burn them up inside of us now. Not waiting until that final day, but now we can be healed and put on a trajectory for new life. A harvest life. Our baptism, our salvation in Jesus Christ, is a beginning. Just as Jesus' baptism was the beginning of his ministry, so our salvation, our baptism, our forgiveness and gift of grace is the beginning of a new and fruitful life made possible by the Holy Spirit, the fire burning within us, inspiring us to live in new community ways, new life-giving ways that pour out fruit to our community, both here within our church and outside the walls. It gives us power to live counterculturally, to make us live and look like we truly are, like we are created to be, and one day will be revealed as beloved children of God in union with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made possible by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.